Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago without a live studio audience. But nevertheless, the excitement and the vibes are in the air for an incredible week ahead of Purim. The holiday of Purim. The holiday of Purim is unbelievable, amazing, incredible, beyond. And in fact, Purim is beyond the Sunday School Carnival. Yes. Now, by the way, there's no problem with having a Sunday School Carnival for Purim. I do not want to be the Grinch that stole the carnival. However, if that's the only thing that you do on Purim, we need to kick it up a notch, people, because you're missing out on the most incredible, awesome, unbelievable, powerful day of joy. Not just superficial happiness and tickling fun, but deep, unbridled joy at having a sense of mission and purpose and being part of the Jewish people and surviving at all odds and not only surviving thousands of years of the bullies of history picking on us, but of thriving, of leaving the world a much better place wherever we go, a sense of morality, a sense of goodness, a sense of decency. Those belong fully ensconced in the Jewish camp, and we spread that light to the world. And no matter how unpopular it makes us, and no matter how many Hamans we have coming at us, we celebrate that the Almighty was, is, and always will be with us. The tremendous joy of that closeness to the Almighty, even though he seems hidden behind a mask. And that's one of the main reasons why we wear costumes on Purim, is that God is hiding. But God hiding does not mean that he's far away. It means that he's right here. He's right here. Imagine someone standing right next to you puts a mask on. There's a mask. The person's hiding, but the person's right there. That's what Hashem is doing. He wants us to be able to see the light amidst the darkness. And I have so many more stories from Israel. I don't even know what to do with myself, and I've got to restrain myself, but I can't. I just can't. Folks, here we go. You ready? Fast your seatbelts. Talk about seeing the light in the darkness. There is a holy Jew named Omer Shem Tov, and he just got out of Gaza maybe a week or two ago, 2 weeks ago. And he was one of the people who, I believe, made it to the Oval Office as well. And he comes and he speaks to the Jewish group, which he was a part of, and similar to a Project 613, actually, believe it or not, in Israel, Kesher Yehudi. And it was absolutely unbelievable. So there's a little clip out. Clip. The Israelis call it the clip. A video clip. Like, you know, like a little video. Anyway, he spoke to his friends who were praying for him for 500 days. And he tells the following story. First of all, he says, I felt your prayers. He says he was in the tunnels of Gaza for most of the time. He says, literally in the dark. And he said he felt the prayers. He literally, physically felt the prayers of everyone. He says, even in the darkest of times. And he appreciates them, and he thanked his friends for praying for him. And then he says he wants to share just one little story of the miracles that happened to him when he was in the Gaza tunnels. And if you wouldn't hear it from him, you would say, Rabbi, you're making up the story. You just want to make it sound like that way so you can say your cute little messages about Hashem. I know. You can look it up. It's unbelievable. And he said the following. He said for a period of about 5 months that he had like a half a bottle. Like, I'm not talking about a vat. Okay, we're not going to have winery. Like, we're talking like a little average water bottle filled with half of it with grape juice. And every Friday night he would pour some, and he would make Kiddush Friday night, or whenever he estimated Friday night was. And he said for 5 months, the bottle did not reduce its contents. And it did not spoil. It stayed good for 5 months. Come on, people. He said himself, it reminded him of the Kad Hashem and the Pach Hashem and the cruise of oil during Hanukkah. And he said he felt Hashem, God, was with him at every moment. You can't make this stuff up. Who are heroes? These are heroes. He's a hero. He's in the darkest tunnels of Gaza. It's absolutely unbelievable. He's coming out with a message of positivity. I can't imagine anyone leaving Gaza with positivity. I just can't imagine it. I consider myself a positive person. I don't want to go to Gaza for 500 days in a tunnel to figure out if I would pass that test. I'll leave it on a theoretical level, God willing. I'm not sure I would pass that test to leave after 500 days and be positive and to spread light and to tell everyone, thank you so much for your prayers. And that there was enough kiddush for me for 5 straight months because the bottle wouldn't reduce like the Hanukkah miracle. All right, we're talking next level stuff here, folks. Next level. Very inspiring. If they can do it, if he can do it, certainly we can do it. Now, we are going, and this is exactly the topic. We are going to be talking about Purim today. And again, enjoy your Purim carnivals. But we're going to go through a little bit of the story and some of the themes and the main theme, and then some maybe laser in on some of the incidents to bring out the theme of Purim. Now, how do I describe this? Basically, let's do a little bit of the Jewish calendar, and then we'll get into the themes, okay? Is this good? Oh, well, this is the way to get into the themes. Now, imagine a clock. So you're on your you're doing Pilates right now, or you are in driving your car, or you are at your desk looking at nothing else and focusing totally on the Words of Money Motivation with Rabbi Garfinkel podcast, or whatever you're doing. But imagine a clock, an old-fashioned clock. You know, the circular ones with the hands, not a digital one. Okay, now 12 o'clock is right straight on the top. Imagine that is Passover. Passover, and Passover is the holiday. It's the first of the months in the Torah months. And imagine that Passover, right? What happens? Tons of open miracles, meaning defying the laws of nature. You have frogs here, frogs there. Frogs were jumping everywhere. Okay, you have all these 10 plagues. Breaking the laws of nature, water turning to blood, all these crazy things happening, okay? Then sea splitting, and then we just go out to the desert. There's no food. Manna falls from heaven, and there's a rock that falls with us, follows us, gives us water for 3 million people. Not bad, Crystal Geyser, huh? Anyway, and then the clouds miraculously are HVAC during the day, and they keep us warm at night and cool during the day. And it's unbelievable. We're talking about a miraculous experience. So that's Passover. Then we flip forward to about 3-ish o'clock. We get to Shavuos, 5 days later. And again, that is God openly breaking the laws of nature. God speaking to 3 million Jewish people, saying, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Now, why does he have a British accent? I'm not sure, but it sounds more authoritative. And that is clearly not within the laws of nature. If God openly speaks to you like that, like if you hear God speaking to you, please call me. We we can refer some people to you. So that is not a normal, quote-unquote, natural experience. Then we move on through the 6 o'clock hour, and we get to the holiday. We're passing over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur briefly, and going to Sukkot. Sukkot again is the holiday that reminds us of the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory. Again, all open miracles. So that whole 6-7 month period, from the 1st to 7th month, from let's say April through October, is all open miracle holidays. And then Hanukkah hits around 9-ish o'clock on our clock. And what do we see? Hanukkah has 2 miracles. It has 1 miracle, the miracle of the battle, and then the miracle of the oil. Now, everyone knows the miracle of the oil is an open miracle. It broke the laws of nature. Fine. But what about the miracle of the battle? The miracle of the battle is a hidden miracle. Why? Because we're live here, CNN on the spot. A ragtag group of guerrilla warriors for the Maccabees defeated, who are much more motivated, defeated the larger Greek army. Now, was there any way the Jews should have won that war? No. But could I have explained it away as a coincidink or a natural occurrence? Yes. That is called a hidden miracle. So what do we see? Hanukkah is the transition holiday. It has one open miracle of the oil, and that's why God did the open miracle of the oil. The open miracle of the oil was the Rebbe, it was the teacher, it was the substrate, the model for which we could understand that the war itself was miraculous. And that's why God planted that one cruse of oil, because he didn't need to do that. The war was already won. Everything was good, all good. But that cruse of oil was that which taught us how to appreciate this hidden miracle. And then we're at 11 o'clock. The last holiday before we start the cycle again is Purim. And Purim is lights out. And that is the theme, as we've said many years in a row here on Monday Motivation Podcast with Rabbi Garfinkel, is that Purim is the holiday where God is hidden. God's name is not mentioned once in the entire book. Not once. Now, guys, this is the Bible over here. There's the Bible. Imagine the Almighty's name not mentioned in the Bible is crazy. It is nuts. And yet that's the point. God is hiding, but is he there? Yes. Who's behind curtain number three? It's the Almighty. But can you see that God is behind curtain number three before the curtain is drawn? That's the test of Purim. And that is why God's name is not mentioned in the Megillah explicitly. There are those, the Vilna Gaon and others famously say that every time it says the king, it's talking about God. If you actually read the Megillah that way, it's actually a fascinating read. God and Haman sat down to drink, whatever that means. And then, but if it says the king Achashverosh, then it's referring to the human king. But nevertheless, God is hidden, and that is our challenge. And so when the decree of Haman comes forth, God, who could God be more hidden than that? Could God possibly be more hidden than that? And that's the challenge of Purim. That's the challenge of Purim, to see God in the darkness, to know before the sea splits, before God pulls back the curtain, before the salvation comes, that we lean in on God when there's no quote-unquote objective reason to believe, when God's not breaking any laws of nature, that through the laws of nature, God is running the world and connecting with me. That is Purim, folks. And so that's one of the reasons why we have costumes. Why do we have costumes? Because we are mimicking what the Almighty is doing. The Almighty is hiding, so we're hiding. The irony is that children put on the costumes. Really, the adults should put on the costumes, right? Children are really who they are. They don't put on any facade. This is sort of a gag, an ironic gag to us. Really, the adults should be the ones putting on the costumes, because we're the ones that put on false veneers. When we're in a meeting where someone else, when we're in a family situation where someone else, we have different roles, different hats to put on, but also we put on different masks. The question on Purim is, will the real me stand up? And it's not only God is hidden, we ourselves are hidden from ourselves. And that explains one of the reasons why we drink on Purim. Why are we supposed to drink until we don't know the difference between how cursed Haman is and how blessed Mordechai is? Why? Because many times we have layers of superficiality over us, layer upon layer of superficiality. And sometimes we have so many masks on, so many persona, so many different roles that we have to play in life, that we forget who we are. And sometimes you need a little dynamite to blast through the layers, the bedrock of superficiality, to get to our core essence of who we are. You know, it's ironic. I always talk about the difference between non-Jewish drinking and Jewish drinking. Non-Jewish drinking, the morning after, the conversation is, dude, why'd you do that? says, I was drunk, right? I was drunk, meaning I am now doing something. I did something that violated my moral character. I knew was wrong because I was drinking. Drinking in the non-Jewish world, and when it is abused, is a mask. It covers up our inner essence. It actually violates. It allows us to become someone who we know we shouldn't be. Whereas the drinking on Purim is just the opposite. It helps us blast through the layers of superficiality to be who we really are. And if you see a really good Purim, you're going to see a room of anywhere from tipsy to drunk people all, the guys are hugging each other. It's like, I love you, man. You're the best. I just love you. Right? Why? Because men have a difficult time saying I love you. And deep down, that is what the drinking is about, to get into our inner core of who we are. And so God is hidden, but we're also hidden from ourselves. And those are some of the aspects of Purim. And so let's now go into some laser strikes about some of the unbelievable things in Purim. And I always love pointing out the accusation of the anti-Semitic Haman. Boo. Had to get some little excitement going here. Against the Jewish people. What was his charge against the Jewish people? And it is in chapter 3. Verse 8. Vayomer Haman lamelech Achashverosh. Haman said to the king Achashverosh, Yeshno am echad. There is one nation. Now the Gemara, the Talmud, focus on Yeshno. Really, it should be Yesh. Yeshno is a funny language. Mifuzarim forad beno amim. They are scattered and divided among the nations. Okay. Bechol midinos malchusecha. In all of the states, the lands of your kingdom. And that is true. The entire Jewish people at that time were in the 127 nations. That's why Haman felt sort of mystically that was his green light, that Jewish people were always in different kingdoms divided up all over the world. But now he thought this was the time to go ahead. Vedasehem Shonos. Their religion is different. They're just a different religion. Mikol Am, from all the peoples. Vedasehem Melech Ein Masiv. They don't listen. They're rebellious. They do not listen to the king. Velamelech Ein Shavei LaHanicham. And it is not worth it for the king to let them stay around. It's like you can hear the microphone up to the voice of so many anti-Semites throughout history. Haman, the spokesman for Darth Vader, Hitler, the dark side. The dark side. All the anti-Semites. Here we go. So let's break this down. He says to Achashverosh, Yeshno Amechad. The Gemara says Yeshno is like Yeshanim. The Jewish people were sleeping from their mitzvahs. And this comes back to the classic Jewish approach. Of course our enemies are bad. Boo. Of course they're terrible. And of course we have to fight them and have to do everything we can. But ultimately the reason why any enemy of ours could lift one finger against us is because of our weaknesses. Amalek, the nation from which the ultimate evil nation that opposes us at all costs, is considered like a fly. What is a fly? A fly cannot break the skin. A fly can only hover and be annoying to a wound. So it's only when the Jewish people inflict ourselves with spiritual wounds that we allow the evil of Amalek to come into us. And so we were sleeping for the mitzvahs and we take responsibility. We don't become victims and blame everyone else for our own failures. We take responsibility. So Yeshno Amachad, we are one nation. There is a nation, Mifuzar umforad ben amim. They are scattered and divided between the nations, which means the Jewish people had lost their unity. There was squabbling. There was infighting. How many times have we talked about everyone, even the military, secular military strategist said that October 7th was a direct cause of the brutal infighting that was happening in Israel. It's a distraction, even on a very secular level, you could say, but certainly on a spiritual level, the division ruined our divine protection. Vedasehem Shonos, their religions are different. How many times have our different customs been used as a canard, has used as a false accusation, and that we're not going to do the be loyal people. My goodness, we are the most loyal citizens in human history. We don't hurt a fly. And yet these accusations were from Haman. They revolve through the doors of history, generation after generation. And so we'll take one takeaway as we bring this in for a landing, that really, Purim is all about Jewish unity. It's about spiritually and emotionally fixing the boo-boo that happened, which was the fact that we were not united. We were not united as a people. And therefore, what are the mitzvahs of the day? The mitzvahs of the day are matanos levyonim, to give gifts to poor people, to give tzedakah. Okay, ve mishloach manos, and to give very nice gift baskets, gifts of food to your friends, even who are not poor. And so, therefore, this is what we're talking about. This is all about Jewish unity, the specific mitzvahs of the day. And of course, the meal itself is to increase the joy, celebrating with friends and family, and seeing, reliving, plugging in to the great miracles of Purim. Bayamim ha'em bazman hazeh, in those days, so too in ours. I'd like to finish off with, as of right now, we have, oh my gosh, it's going to be crazy. Project 613 is going to have our meal this next Friday going into Shabbos. It's a very interesting halachic quandary of Purim and Shabbos, not for now. But the point is, imagine a room of dozens and dozens. We're already at 40, probably have to close it at 50. Young professionals plus families there celebrating Jewish unity, Jewish survival, Jewish greatness. And so folks, this coming Thursday night and Friday, you have to plug in wherever you are. There are Megillah readings Thursday night and Friday. The custom is to read it, the law, the halakha is to read it both, listen to it being read Thursday night and Friday morning. Give gift baskets. It's very easy. Give a beer and peanuts to a friend of yours. Okay, gifts to the poor could be as low as $20, $10 even, some postgame say, to help another Jew. If you need a place to distribute your money, we have people and organizations that distribute the money, the tzedakah, to the poor people on the day of Purim itself, which is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So God willing, this Purim will transcend the Purim carnival for you. It will be meaningful and uplifting and exciting and passionate and joyous, because we are part of the greatest nation, God's people, ever to grace the earth. God bless. Have an amazing week. Have an amazing Purim. And we'll see you again next week, God willing, for another exciting edition, as long as my hangover is over, of Monday Motivation.